As I've told you before, since I'm a product of the 60s and 70s, I grew up listening to all the, what was the rock back then. So I love all the old rock. And so when I ran into this group called Il Divo, have you heard of them? More, they sound like an Italian kind of Spanish group, of a quartet, but you know, there's a guy in there from France, another one is from Spain, I think two are from America, but they sing a lot of songs. Good-looking men, are they not? So, boy, can they sing? Are you familiar with them? Yeah, boy, can they sing. So when I first moved here back in 2008, this is not a group that I would listen to. I'm more of a Led Zeppelin guy, Nickelback, Metallica. That's what I would listen to. And so when I first moved here in 08, and I was having a hard time switching coast and leaving all my friends and family in California. It was emotionally tough, but I knew God wanted us here, so we came. But I don't know how it happened, but I wound up with an Il Divo CD. And I'm like, and who are these guys? They don't look like heavy metal. And so I, you know, stuck it into my Honda Accord CD player and started listening to it. And they had a song called Nella Fantasia. You heard this song? It is, you need to. Nella Fantasia. I don't know what they're singing about. But I do know whenever I hear it, it's almost like a spiritual experience. Just their voices, the melodies, the blend, the song is haunting. But one of the songs, as I continued to listen to that CD, was called Mama. This is a powerful song. It is their song to their mother. And as I sang that, I listened to that on my CD player in my car, struggling with leaving my mom behind when my dad died of brain cancer and I moved here a couple months after that. I didn't want to leave her, but I had to because God called us here. And I ran into this song. And I sat out here in the parking lot. Am I an emotional kind of guy? No. I was that day. I was sitting out here in my car crying before I came in because of what these men sang about. I'll give you a little taste of what they sang about because these became words between me and my mother. And here's a little taste of the first opening verse.
Mama, thank you for who I am. Thank you for all the things I'm not. Forgive me for the words unsaid and for the times I forgot. Mama, remember all my life. You showed me love, you sacrificed. Of those young and early days, how I've changed along the way, along the way.
See what I mean? That is just a moving song. You can type it in later and listen to it. But as I listened to that in my car, I thought, well, that is what I would, if I was a singer and wrote a song, that's what I would sing to my mother. And so I made an MP3 out of it, and I sent it to her in an email. And I said, Dear Mom, this song is, if I could sing you something, this is it. And I sent it to her. Because I that's my mother, and you're thankful for her. Now, when you get older and you see all the impact on your mom's life, and so I sent that to her, and she was in the last service, verifying all my stories and everything that I said were true. But I am thankful for her because if you think about your life, you are a product of your mother. If you listen to her, she impacted you, and you should be expressing thanks to her like these young men do in this great song. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul gives this command. He says to Christians, in everything, the hard things, the easy things, give thanks. Why? Well, that's God's will. If you ever wanted to know what God's will is it's for you to be a thankful person. And we live in a culture that's not very thankful. But Paul says you should stand out as one who gives thanks. So I would say that command is certainly applicable on Mother's Day when you think about your mother. So if you are not a singer and you don't write songs, but if you were a singer and you could write songs, what words would you put into your mama song to your mother? What would you say to her? And so as I've gone through this week and thought, I mean, all the things that my mother means to me, I'm going to list a couple of them kind of like rapid fire succession. And your list is probably different than mine. But what would your list be? So I would thank my mom for being at the top of the list, a woman of prayer. She was a woman of prayer above all things. In fact, the only way I graduated college is because she prayed every time I had a test. I called her and said, I know this is a long distance call, but I need help from on high with this test. She provided wonderful summer vacations when we didn't have a lot of money. And we traveled from Southern California to South Carolina every summer in a car with no air conditioning because it hadn't been invented yet, remember? And we drove for 5 days to see my dad's 10 sisters and his mom and dad. Two-lane roads, remember before there were freeways? I can't be that old. Two-lane roads coming across the United States, windows down, there's no air conditioning. By the time we got to Grandma's, we were just sun-drenched, blasted. And couldn't wait to get some, you know, a fan in your face or something. But those were wonderful vacations. I thank my mom for allowing all my friends and my sister's friends to basically live at our house and eat all of our food. You know how this works? I thank her for being, back then, what was tantamount to being an Uber driver. That's what she was. Took us to everywhere you could imagine. She would attend my baseball games that I would play. I remember playing at the Angels, California Angels, their practice winter facility was a field that we played on out in the desert where they were. And she came as a big quadruplex, and I told her which field I was on, and I'm left field, and this is where I'll be, Mom, in case you're coming. So she came, and after the game, when I got home, I asked her how she liked the game, and I said, where were you? I saw Dad in the stands behind on home plate. Where were you? And she said, oh, I was there. I'm like, but you weren't with Dad. She goes, well, I was out in the parking lot. Parking lot. She did. She sat way out in the parking lot on the outfield fence so she could see me. And she was there behind off of the angle watching me, and then my dad's behind me home plate asking me, why'd you swing at that? But anyway, which he had a deep bass voice. I could hear him in front. The whole crowd, I would have to step out of the box and look back at him and go, you know? Yeah, I didn't like that pitch. But this is Mother's Day. I thank God for my mom that put me in Cub Scouts. Then she put me in Weeblos. Remember those? And then remember when it was called Boy Scouts? Remember? She put me in that too. And so I went through all the ranks, and I eventually aged out when I was working on the life rank below an eagle. I was either baseball or scouting, so I took baseball. But she took me through all that stuff, and I thank God for her. But what I want to talk about today, three things that are impactful for my mother. Now, these are my three. These may not be your three, but I think you can learn some from my three. And I think they're already flashed up there. The first one is I thank God that I had a mom that believed in biblical discipline. And somebody in the first service went, whoa. Yeah, I'm glad because, as I've told you before, as the family told my mother, if you do not do something with this strong-willed child, he's going to end up in the California penal system. Yeah. And so my mom got my attention many, many times to help me grow up and become a viable member of society. James Dobson and my little sister was at one point his secretary, go figure. Back in 1984, wrote The Strong-Willed Child. I have a copy of it, and I've looked at it and thought to myself, oh, this looks really familiar. But my mother evidenced Dobson's principles long before Dobson ever wrote that piece, because she looked at what the scriptures say you should do with a strong-willed child, and she applied them to me to help me to become a better person that's obedient and loving and kind and all those things. I didn't come out that way. In fact, if you study the scriptures, we all come out sinners. You understand this? We come out rebellious sinners. So when you have a child, you're going to have to deal with that sin nature, and it's in each child's different, and some child are more strong-willed. So my mother read the following kind of verses and then took note of them. He who spares his rod hates his son. What's the implication? Don't spare the rod. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. That was my life. Got my attention. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son, I love this, while there's hope. Yeah, because I don't know, he might eventually, You know, I remember when I was on the wrestling team in high school, I put my hands behind her, grabbed her while she was washing dishes, and I grabbed her wrist really tight, and I leaned out to her, and I told her, you know, the great thing about being bigger than you is? And she said, what? I go, you can't do anything to me anymore. The look I got was, you want to bet? Yeah, so I just let her go at that point. Do not desire his death. Yeah. Proverbs 20:30, stripes and that wounds scour away evil and strokes reach the innermost parts. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Not, I need to reason with Johnny. No, I need to get his attention. The rod of reproof gives wisdom, but the child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Boy, that's a truth. Because if you don't get his attention and break the strong will, you raise a child that will basically tell you or a police officer or a teacher, like, where to get off, right? It's disobedience. Proverbs 29:17, correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will delight your soul. And so, you know, you got a child that's a wild bronco. What do? Well, you have to control him. And so I do thank that God that I had a mother who loved me enough to show me how to be a young man and what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. And she stuck with me. It wasn't easy. And if you have one of those kind of children in your house, my mom's counsel was don't deviate, be consistent. And eventually God will begin to work in their life. I've done many things in my life I am not proud of as I grew up. One of the things that I've never told you that I did was when my parents bought their first new home. My dad was a Border Patrol agent when I was a little kid, so we lived in a small little house. And so as the family got bigger, he wanted to buy a bigger house. So they bought a tract home in California, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Nice little house, a couple years old, and it was a whopping $16,000. That's like your house payment now, right? You know, I'm like, unbelievable. $16,000 was this house. And I don't know why this happened, why I did this. This seemed like a great idea at the time. But my parents took us over there to check out the new house. And while they were in another part of the house, somewhere I found a box of crayons. And so while they weren't around me, I was 9 years old, I went into the dining room and I just drew all over the dining room. And I stepped back, I'm like, that looks cool. And then I decided the hallway needed the same treatment. And so I just went down the hallway, coloring all the walls, and I got to the end of the hallway and I thought, I need to turn around and do the other wall. So I turned around and colored the whole wall. And then my mother found out what I did. She became Moses at that point. What in the world? Brand new home. What were you thinking? It's the 60s, man. It's psychedelic. It's cool. No. And so I met Jesus that day. My mom got my attention, and you know, there was no reasoning with me as a rebel back then, but she got my attention. And as I got older, the discipline got different. You know, sometimes I'd be in my room and, you know, sent for some quiet time, and I, you know, couldn't have all my cool stuff with me and all that kind of stuff. But there's some kind of discipline that made my soul malleable. And I am so glad she did that, because had she not done that, I really would probably not be a pastor. I probably would be in prison, and I probably would be married to my great wife. And so I want to thank my mom and all mothers who understand the importance of loving a child enough to tell him, not this way, son, but this way. Number two, I thank my mom for being a wise counselor and guide. Wow, she has been there all my life for all kinds of questions that I've posed to her. And this suggests, number one, that your mother is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, that she studies the Word of God and applies it to her life. And as she does that, she grows in the faith and becomes wise. And then she can then share that wisdom with you. So if you are a young person here and you're, you know, heading into your teenage years and you're thinking that you're smarter than your mother, you're really not. Your mother is way smarter than you, so it'd be very good to listen to her, especially as giving you godly counsel, because my mom was one I could go to and ask her questions. I didn't always do what she said, but I was picking her brain for wise activity versus foolish activity, the high road versus the low road, because my friends would choose the low road just by definition, and I would want to do the low road of sin less by nature, but like, Mom, what should I do this? And so my mom had read the scriptures, which say things like this, Proverbs 1 verse 5. Solomon says. Wise man, what will he do? He will hear and he will increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That's a wise man. He also says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So there's only two people in the room. There's wise people who listen to wise counsel and listen to God, maybe through a godly parent, and then there's a foolish person who thinks, I'm smarter than that. Which kind of person are you? Well, I had a godly mother who taught me about godly wisdom. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline. Why? That you may be wise the rest of your days. I mean, the greatest thing you can do as a mom is to raise children that are wise in the ways of God. That's the greatest thing. And so I had a mother that I could go to and seek wisdom and counsel. So I thought back in my mind all the times I sat down with my mom and asked her, could you give me some insight? Like when they bought that $16,000 home and I went to a new school and we lived in a border town. It was a very rough town to live in. I started getting bullied at school as the new guy. And so I had to ask her, what do I do when I'm bullied? What are my options? When I got a little bit older and started noticing girls, a lot of the really nice-looking girls were not Christians. And so when I became a Christian, I had a dilemma. So Lord, these nice non-Christian girls, they seem like dateable. You know, should I date them or should I not date them? Questions like that. When I started preaching in high school down in Mexico, I had to go to my mom and talk to them about, you know, my dad's in charge of the border with U.S. Customs, but should I go across the border with high school students and preach down in this little village called Cucupa Indigenas? Should I go there and preach? Is that a wise thing to do? When my parents moved to San Diego so my dad could work out of the federal building and called me to tell me there's some really pretty twins next door, and I'm in Los Angeles, and I came home, and I see Liz, I did evangelistic dating. You know what I'm saying? When Liz eventually trusted Christ as her savior one night, I went to walk her home, next door neighbor, walked her home, and she told me on the doorstep, well, I did it. You did what? She said, I did that Jesus thing. I trusted Jesus. I'm like, awesome, praise God. Now we can date and get married. But it's like I had to ask my mom, you think I should see the next door neighbor? Should I go to her racquetball club where she works with her boyfriend who's a bodybuilder and stuff? Should I risk it? You know? Anyway, you can see what happened 44 years later. I got her and he didn't. So, but my mother was part of that whole equation. You know, how important is your mom? Even down to dating, like, is that a good future mate? But as I got into being married, then I'm switching my allegiance over to my wife to ask her wisdom and counsel as we make decisions in life. But I still respect my mom enough to ask her, you know, questions. So when we got the opportunity to look at this particular church, I had to ask her, you know, Liz and I, Nathan, I'm thinking of moving to Virginia. What do you think about that? And this is what she told me. Quote, I'd rather you live far from me and in God's perfect will than close to me out of his will. That's amazing. I'd rather you live far from me and in the will of God than close to me and out of God's will. When she finally came here and saw the church back then, which was a lot smaller back in the day, and met the people, we told her how great the people were. And so I asked her as a Californian, what are your observations about the people on the East Coast at this church? And this is what she told me. She said, well, honey, this is before she got on the airplane. She said, well, the people at your church are somebody like at work, but they act like nobody because they're humble. She said, the people in California, they're nobody and they're always acting like somebody. I'm like, this should be in the Bible. I mean, this is, this is a mother giving wisdom. I mean, things like that. And so if you are a mother today, I challenge you to maintain biblical parameters and discipline to get to the will of your child, and God will help you, and they can grow up to be great contributors to the kingdom of God. Number two, you know, make sure that you're there to follow hard after God yourself and give that wisdom and counsel to your children. So I've gone and done that many, many times in my lifetime. I've gone to my mom for wisdom and counsel, even now. And then lastly, you might think this one's odd, but I don't. I thank my mother for the gift of music. Because in our house, It was all about music. So I had an older sister, Marla, you're older than me, and a little sister, Julie, 6 years younger than me. We all played the piano. We all had to take piano lessons. So you can imagine the little Hammond piano in our spinet piano in our living room. That thing was played all of the time. Arpeggios, scales, I mean, Mozart, you name it, it was played. And so my sister Marla majored in piano. I think I took for 10 years. My older sister Marla took like 14. My little sister took 11 or 12. So imagine all the lessons. So my mom learned to play the piano just by listening to all those years of lessons. And so the singing was always in our house. My sister was in groups that came from school. There was always people in our house. It was never restful because there was always music going on. But back in the day, we had, I know I'm going to date myself, but we had a record player in the living room that was the size of the living room. Did you have one of these things? Now it's amazing. I have a little Sonos system with little speakers. I move them around, bass and everything. It's like, this is cool. And I can stick the AirPods in my ears and totally just rock out in my head, and no one hears it. It's totally good. Back then, it's the bigger the console, the cooler it was, right? Do you remember? And so, do you? Yeah, so we had this huge, massive walnut record player in the living room. There was a picture window, and it took up that whole wall. And then there was a massive console TV. Remember the big, giant wooden box the TVs were in? And that was basically the living room. But the record player was like big, giant speakers built in on the ends. And then the inside was hollow for all of those 78 records. And we had a pile of them. And then another end of it was a whole section for 45s. And then down at the end was a record player. That thing, remember how you could stack multiple records and they would drop down as they went along? Now it's totally easy. I mean, I have more songs on my phone than we ever had in the house, but there was always music going. And so here's what, and remember, I liked what kind of music growing up? Rock. But here's what I heard at home. Second chapter of Acts, remember them? I used to listen to them. The Imperials, remember them? The Gaither Trio, remember them? Sandy Patty, Chuck Gerard. I don't even know how many times I've listened to Tennessee Ernie Ford. In fact, that music is so drilled in my brain as a child. I get up in the morning and I listen to a station before I come to preach that has those old-time gospel people on it. And I have one that I click on that is Tennessee Ernie Ford. Because when you don't think your kids are really listening to the sacred music, they are. Because I am an illustration that music changed my life. Because if you knew me back then, I was all about rock. I mean, I was into Cat Stevens, the Rolling Stones, T-Rex, Santana, Jimi Hendrix, Sly and the Family Stone, the Beatles, etc. I mean, when they had the British invasion and my parents told us on our little black and TV with three stations, with the rabbit ears, that we're being invaded and it's on the Ed Sullivan Show, you need to watch this. I'm like, it's an invasion? Remember, it was four guys in a group, the Beatles. I'm like, oh, it's a band. Got into the Beatles, got into the Kinks, the Who, Steppenwolf, and on and on and on and on and on. So what I found out as I grew up is rock affected my head because I was a Zep fan. You know, Whole Lot of Love, you ever heard this song? You can't drive to that and not drive faster. It's just bam, 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 Whole Lot of Love. You know what I'm talking about? And I found out that rock music was like cool like that, but it didn't affect my heart. Sacred music affected the heart. Sacred music answered questions that Zeppelin never addressed, right? Stairway to Heaven. Yeah, I play it all the time on the piano. I'm like, this song is hopeless, you know? Because the answer to the song is, whoever this girl is, she needs to know Jesus. And so when you think about the difference between the secular and the sacred, it's the sacred music that my parents played that they thought I wasn't listening to, that I really listened to. So all the old hymns that we used to sing, I'm in church really listening to them. Even though I'm telling everybody I'm really all about this other stuff, now that I'm older, that's the music that I listen to or play on the piano. First song old hymn I learned as a child, I was probably 6 years old, 5, 6 years old, was the old Rugged Cross. And I remember walking around the house one day singing it. So I'll cherish the old Rugged Cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old Rugged Cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I knew that as a kid, that that that's the right kind of lyric. That's the right kind of music, because one day I'm going to have to answer to God. And I knew I was going to have to answer to him, and I want to lay a crown before him. My mother, because she learned to play the piano by listening to us, would play old hymns on the piano. She used to play the old hymn, Under His Wings, and I used to listen to her play that. And now that I'm older, I realize I gained great insight from that old hymn. That old hymn says, Under His Wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and the tempests are wild, still I can trust him, and I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I'm his child. So when the winds of adversity have blown against my life over the years, I wasn't getting assistance from Zeppelin. I was getting assistance from Under His Wings, that I knew that the Lord had his wings around me in times of great difficulty and loss, and that I was going to be okay because he was with me. I was sitting in church one time, and we sang this particular song, and it kind of became my song as I grew up. I never told my parents that it did, but it did. In fact, I built my whole life around this song, Give Your Best to the Master. Give your best to the Master, give him the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for what? Truth. Jesus set the example, dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion, give him the best that you have. I thought many times as a young man, that's the kind of person that I need to be, to grow up to be a person that gives God my very best at all time. So when you don't think those songs that you're playing now, the Chris Tomlin numbers, whatever it is you're listening to, that you're listening to as a mom, you don't think it's having a great impact, God uses that in the life of that strong-willed child and buries that into their heart. And one day that word and that lyric would become something that would begin to minister to them. My parents also would play. My mom loved a group that, I don't know if you're anybody from Texas. Yeah, but I bet you're not going to know this group. J.T. Adams and the Men of Texas. See, now they're quiet. There's, huh? Yeah. So anybody heard J.T. Adams and the Men of Texas? See, this is an old group. But this is, my parents had these records and would play them in the house. And, you know, so after Cat Stevens, this would drop down and sing. And so they had many, many songs. I took them years ago when I was in college back in the 70s. And I took those records that my parents had and I transferred them to a cassette tape, one tape. And then in my first church in 1986, when I was a youth pastor, a retired old lady in our retired community where I was the youth pastor gave me a cassette boom box that now young people come in my garage and are like, hey, yo, what's up? What's that? I still have that boom box. It still works. And I have that one cassette tape with all these old songs on it. I've had this thing for, I don't know, 45 years. But I have these songs on there and I listen to them when I'm in my garage working because they're worship. I learned about them as I grew up from my mom. I want to play one of them that means a lot to me. Ideas, what songs are you putting into the life of your son and your daughter? Here's one of them called Follow Me.
I travel down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed. I oft complain to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly,
see what I mean? We don't sing like that anymore. We don't listen to music like that anymore, but I still do. Why? Because that was part of worship in my home. And as I've been a pastor for, I don't know, 30-something years, when people do mean things to me, say mean things to me as a pastor, because it happens, and your road is very heavy, and you see very sad things as a pastor, when you're weighed down by burdens, I think of that song, Follow Me. My cross was heavy. I fell beneath the burden, and I think of Christ. He bore all that for me. How can I not bear this as his disciple? It's encouraged me many times. What was not encouraging me? Nickelback. Metallica. They weren't encouraging me. What was built into my soul? That old music. That's why I still listen to it. So if you're a mother today, my challenge to you is, what are you building into your child's life? Worshipful kind of music, even if they say they're not listening, God's gonna use it. And as they grow up and they become a man or a woman, they're gonna reach back into what you built into them and they're gonna go, you know, my mom was right. I gotta take up my cross and follow Christ. I had that kind of mother, and I'm grateful for her. And if you are a mother today that walks closely with God, I pray his richest blessings on you. And if you don't know Christ yet, oh, he's the greatest thing that can happen to you, is to bow before him as a mother and say, God, forgive me. Give me wisdom to be a mother. It's good to have you in God's house. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. You can take pictures over by the fountain if you haven't figured this out yet. They've even got special signs you can hold up to kind of say what you want to say. But it's been great to have you in God's house. Why don't we stand? Because it's time for fathers to take wives to lunch. For Mother's Day, right? Right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that we can celebrate mothers. They're such a backbone of our country, backbone of our lives. Thank you for what they mean to us and how they bless us and give us wisdom and insight into life. And may we listen to them and glean from their lives and become wise ourselves. Thank you for what they have done thus far. Use them greatly in the years ahead within our church body and the lives of these families. And we give you all the praise to our Lord and Savior. Amen.